The test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 6. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 6.
Good morning, Santon Sports Club.
Oh, hello. I spoke to one of your colleagues last week about becoming a member of your club, and I'd like to go ahead and join, if I can do it over the phone.
Absolutely. I'll start by taking a few details, if I may.
Of course.
What's your name?
It's Alex Coos.
Can you spell your surname?
It's C-O-O-Z-E.
Lovely. I've got that. And are you a student or in employment?
Employed.
Thank you. And can I ask, what's your job?
I'm a doctor.
Right. Thanks. Now, we don't need to get your full address at this stage, but could I just take your postcode?
If I can remember it. I've only just moved. Oh, yes, it's GT1.
Right.
And then 2BN.
Is that VN?
No, BN.
Sorry. Now, one last question in this section. Can I just ask how you heard about us? Was it from a friend?
Actually, I read about the club in a newspaper.
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 7 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 7 to 10.
Now, we do offer different types of membership according to which facilities you want to use and when.
Yes, I gathered that, but my schedule's a bit problematic. I mainly want to use the gym, and that'll be after about 7 p.m. when I finish work.
Fine, right. And will you be interested in swimming?
I understand you have both an indoor and an outdoor pool.
That's right.
I'm not a fan of swimming, actually, and certainly don't want to be there when it gets very packed in the evenings. I think I'd only want to use the outdoor one and during the day, when I can get a bit of sunbathing in.
And when the children are at school, of course, so it's a bit quieter. A lot of our clients prefer that.
I can imagine. And I might occasionally want to have a game of badminton. You know, And I suppose I'd like to book courts on Saturdays and Sundays when I can organise a game with friends.
Right. And would you be wanting to use our other club facilities, such as the sauna, steam room or tanning bed? They're open all day until 9 p.m.
Well, I think I'd only want to use the steam room and probably after I've been doing heavy exercise.
So, shall I put that down as evenings?
Sorry, no, I'd probably only use it on Saturdays and the occasional Sunday, you know, when I have more time to relax.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two. you will hear a talk at an open day at an alternative health club. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Good morning and welcome to the open day of our new alternative health club here at Chelsea Bridge. I have to say it is very pleasant to have so many people turn up. My name is Harry Wilkinson and I work as one of the 9 permanent staff members employed here at the club. The main aim of the open day is to give you a quick tour of the building. But before we do that, I'd like to introduce you to a few people employed at the club. Not all of us are here at the same time. In case you need to contact any of us, our contact details are here on the notice board below the photographs. First of all, this is Sean Bond, who is the technical manager, and his job is to supervise equipment like computers and all the electrical equipment. And this is Margaret Lloyd. Her main function is to oversee training, and she is therefore in charge of all the full and part-time therapists. The next important person I need to introduce you to is James Todd. He is our liaison officer. What he does is manage bookings for the club rooms and equipment, as they are open to different organizations, from the local college to corporate clients like banks and so on. Last but not least is our physiotherapist, Edward Marks, who works part-time Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Edward plays an important part in the life of the club. His main role is to prevent injuries.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen carefully and answer questions 16 to 20.
Now for the various amenities. You see that the club has quite a large capacity and is arranged over 3 floors. There is a lift by the reception and the stairs. On the ground floor, there are 2 large halls which are used for yoga, tai chi, pilates, and dance and fitness classes for different age groups, with a shop and cafeteria over here. On the first floor, we have a full range of fitness machines, which are available in the large central hall, around which there are various offices. The changing rooms are also on this floor. On the second floor, there is a series of small therapy rooms with waiting areas for clients. These may be booked by individual therapists. There are also 3 classrooms, which are used for teacher training and group therapy classes. We have a very extensive therapy training program accredited to the University of Manwich, with training in counseling, for which we have 3 programs at the moment. As regards the various types of yoga, acupuncture, and the Alexander technique, there are currently 9 different training classes going on. Information about the training can be obtained from the brochure, which you can pick up at reception and from the club website. There will be a chance to talk to trainers for those interested in counselling this Saturday at 10 a.m. For yoga, etc., there will also be an informal gathering of trainers on Thursday at 4:30 p.m. So, if you are interested in becoming involved, this is your chance.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You are going to hear a guide named Matt, who is introducing their trip in Wildlife Haven.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Matt, and I'm one of the three guides here at Wildlife Haven. Our job is to make sure that you all have a great time here with us and go home feeling happy and relaxed. As you can see, we're away from the city in a remote area between a national park and the sea. To encourage you to relax, there are no radios or TVs, and the only phones and newspapers are in the office. So, if peace and quiet is what you've come for, this is the place to be. From your cabin on the hill, you'll find you have the national park behind you, and you can look out from the sea from your front balcony. Your luggage will be unloaded from the bus and taken to your rooms in a few minutes. Once you have picked up your key at reception, please locate your room and check that all your luggage has arrived. The daily program here at Wildlife Haven is flexible and only as demanding as you want it to be. You should each have a brochure setting out the facilities and various walking tracks you can take. And on the bus, you are given a green sheet setting out a number of group tours in the coming week. If you want to join any tour, just write your name and room number on the relevant sheet along the wall here. Tomorrow, there is a beachcombers and rockhoppers tour exploring marine life in the rock pools along the beach. Or, if you'd prefer to go inland, there's a guided forest walk that takes you off the walking tracks. If you want to catch some lunch, you could join the beach fishing expedition. And at night, you'll see there is a moonlight forest walk that leaves each night at 7 p.m. So there is plenty to choose from at Wildlife Haven, and of course, that includes just sitting on your balcony watching the waves roll in. But I would recommend my favorite tour, the Waterfall Walk. This departs at sundown each day and also provides the opportunity to have a moonlight swim.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
You've chosen to visit us in January, which is one of our hotter months. And although you may be tempted to wear a minimum of clothing, you should always take precautions against injury, particularly in the national park. This includes sensible footwear. You'd be surprised how many of our guests ignore this advice and end up being sorry. And socks are a good idea, too. And even though you might be under trees a lot of the time, it's a good idea to wear a hat in this hot climate. There's no need to be too concerned about walking in the national park, provided you use common sense. It's true that there are poisonous spiders in the park, but they are really more frightened of you than you are likely to be of them. I should also warn you against eating any wild berries. Some are edible, but you should avoid them all. We'll provide all the food you can eat. Well, that's about all for now. Dinner is from 6 to 8 p.m. in this building.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part 4.
Part 4.
I'd like to go over some simple security measures today.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to go over some simple security measures today. As you all know, there have been a few small incidents with students' possessions being lost or stolen, and as the student representative for Middlesex Hall of Residence, I'd like to remind everyone of a few simple things we can do to make our accommodation safer for everyone and to remind everyone of the security measures already in place. First of all, I'd like to go over what security measures are already in or around the halls of residence. As you turn off the road into Middlesex Hall, there is a security barrier for people arriving by car. Students, or anyone else for that matter, have to report to security through the speaker before they can even enter the car park. Once they're in the car park, we have CCTV, that's closed circuit television, linked directly to the security office, so that anyone coming into the front entrance via the car park can be seen by the person on duty. We also have cameras around the Hall of Residence. The film from the CCTV is kept by security in case there is a problem and we need to send the film to the police to help identify the person. So, barriers and CCTV. In addition to these, there is security lighting in the car park and around the Hall of Residence, which is on from night to morning. These security measures are there to help, but the really important thing is the front entrance. At the front entrance is a keypad lock. Now, as you all know, to open this, you need your student card and the 4-digit security code. As you also know, you should not give this code to anyone you do not know, and you should never let anyone into the Hall of Residence. Remember that for all the security measures we take, if you let someone into the hall, then anything we do to keep students' possessions safe will not help. After the front door, we have the reception desk. Now, this is manned 24 hours a day, but the security guard has a lot to do and may not be there all the time. If you need to call security, go to the nearest phone or call on your mobile. The number is 9666, and they will be with you as soon as they can. The next thing I want to mention are your own personal security measures. By this, I mean the locks on your room door and window, your personal alarm, and the university bus. All student rooms have a swipe lock that we open with our student cards. Do not leave your room door unlocked if you're going out for a long period of time. And do not leave your card in a place where someone can pick it up and enter your room. This is, of course, common sense, but people still leave their rooms unlocked and still leave their cards around. The next thing is your room window. Everyone has a key for their window, and everyone should try to keep their windows locked when they are out of the building. However, the security guard has told me that he often finds windows open, and even worse, he finds windows open on the ground floor. Please don't do this. It's an invitation to a burglar to enter the hall and take people's things. Finally, two more items: personal alarms and the university bus. Now, the students' union gives every student their own personal alarm if you go to collect it. A personal alarm is something that gives out a loud noise if you press it when you think you may be in danger. It lets people know where you are and that you need help. The second thing you can do is use the university bus. It takes students from the campus to the town and to other places on campus. It goes every half an hour and it's free, so please try to use it, especially after dark.
That is the end of part four.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.